The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome you back to the second hour of the program, and we are appreciative of everyone being here, and can't wait to get to our next guest. He is Jordan Rogers, and he'll be doing one of the most interesting games of tomorrow. He's joining us courtesy of the region's guest line. And Jordan, thank you very, very much for being with us. And I know you. I think everybody's pretty fired up, but I can see it in your face. You are ready to get out there tomorrow and call a game.
Well, I'm not going to get out there, Paul. I'll be sitting actually right there. I'm going to take off the headset and earpiece for Nation. I'm going to throw on the headset for the game. But who cares? It's SEC football, and I think we got a good matchup, man. This is one that a lot of people, and every year, I think people doubt Kentucky. And all they do is continue to put out a good product. And they got Terry Wilson back after having a receiver in Lynn Bowden playing quarterback last year. So they're going to be more balanced on that side of the ball. And people forget, Terry Wilson is 12-3 as a starter at Kentucky. He's a talented quarterback. Eddie Grant's a good offensive coordinator. And really, at Auburn, I think their weakness is really Kentucky's strength right now. And that's on the defensive front. I mean, Kentucky's strength is the offensive line. Auburn, biggest question mark, no Derrick Brown, no Marlon Davidson. How can they affect the game at the defensive line position? That's where the game's going to be won and lost, I think. So it'll be an interesting matchup. And as well, Auburn, Bo Nix, Chad Morris, what's the offense going to look like, right? They weren't able to generate explosive plays very well last year, and Kentucky was one of the best in the country at stopping explosive plays through the air. So this is going to be a grinded out, you know, heavyweight fight of a football game that I think Kentucky's got a good shot of winning. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, listen, everybody is excited about football, but there's also this excitement about picking upsets. And it seems like a lot of people really believe in Kentucky, and you alluded to it there, Jordan. Make the case for, just for fun, I mean, if you had to make a case for Kentucky winning this game, where would you go?
Well, it starts on defense with Stoops and Kentucky, and it always has. And they were one of the best in the country last year and one of the best against the pass. Get this, Paul. Here's a stat for you. I found this one today. They gave up one pass of 40-plus yards last year. One. That was best in the entire country. So it's tough to break off big, explosive plays against Kentucky. And, yes, Anthony Schwartz and Seth Williams for Auburn are good players, and they're going to get their touches, and they're going to make some plays. But Kentucky is a bend-but-don't-break type of defense. They want to stretch this game out. So on defense, I think that looks really well for what Auburn doesn't do great, which is generate pass plays down the field and attack the middle of the field, and what Kentucky is really good at, and the question marks of no Derrick Brown. How do they affect the football? And just look at Kentucky last year. They had a quarterback playing receiver. And over their last six or seven games, I believe it is, they averaged 350 yards on the ground. Anybody with a frontal lobe and two eyes knew they were going to run the football, and teams still could not stop them. Is Auburn a really good defense? Yeah, they will be. Kevin Steele always has that group ready to play. But this is a game where Kentucky wants to dirty it up. They want to slow the game down. They want to run the football. Mix in Terry Wilson, see where he's at health-wise with his knee, see what he can do through the air, keep this a low-scoring game. That's where it plays well for Kentucky, and that's, I think, why they have a good chance to win.
Jordan, let me bounce around a little bit tomorrow because there's so many intriguing games, and I know while you'll be locked into the early game over in Oxford, you have Florida, which is the trendy pick and, frankly, is the pick to win the SEC East, taking on Ole Miss. What are your expectations of not only this game, but of Florida in general?
Yeah, I'll start with Florida. I think this is going to be Kyle Trask's coming out party. I picked Florida to win the East a long time ago. I think this is a year they take a big step, and it's because of Kyle Trask. Look, he's not the sexiest pick. He's not the most talented quarterback, but all he does is execute the offense that Dan Mullen puts in place, and they have a lot of skill around him. They have the best tight end in the country in Kyle Pitts. They have a lot of young talent at receiver that do need to prove themselves. But that's a team that I think is poised and ready to take that next step. Now, the biggest question mark will be on defense. And let me tell you, Paul, Lane Kiffin will have this Ole Miss offense and the talent that they have, they'll be ready to play, and they're going to put up some points. And that's why I think it's Kyle Trask coming out party, because I think they're going to need to score points to win this football game against an Ole Miss defense that couldn't stop anybody last year and really couldn't stop anybody through the air. So Kyle Trask is going to have a big year and a big day against Ole Miss, but it's going to be a battle. Ole Miss is going to score points on everybody in this conference. It's going to be a matter of how they do on defense, and I think Florida is going to be too much too early for Ole Miss, and I think they're going to get going really strongly to start this season. One of the reasons I picked them over Georgia, because Georgia's got a tough first 4 weeks, and Florida, I think, is going to have a better start to this season.
Speaking of scoring points, I want to get your take on Mike Leach's team as they head down tomorrow afternoon and play the defending national champs. Everybody in Starkville so excited about Leach, quarterback over from Stanford. What do you see there?
Look, I'm just happy that we got Mike Leach in the SEC. Paul, how many years have we sat here kind of putting our noses up, looking out west, going, you can't do that over here. I mean, yeah, that's nice. Throw for 5,000 yards, throw it 70 times a game, but you couldn't do that in the SEC. Well, we're about to find out, right? I mean, Mike Leach is going to try to put this system in. And look, Mississippi State couldn't throw the football for anything last year, so I don't imagine it's going to be a plug and play and going to be sexy right out the gate. But they got an experienced quarterback, and I think they got the best running back in the SEC in Kylan Hill, and he is going to be a guy that's going to take a Clyde Edwards-Helaire type of step. Clyde had 55 receptions last year. It catapulted him into being a first-round draft pick with how good he is running the football and what he could do out in the backfield. That's going to be Kylan Hill. Only 18 receptions last year. Well, Leach's running backs usually lead the team in receptions, so it's going to be a lot of Kylan Hill. And honestly, I think Mississippi State's got a shot in this football game. LSU has question marks all over the place. Do they have talent? Absolutely. Will Coach O have them ready to play? Totally. But Mississippi State's going to surprise some people. They're going to score points. They got a shot in this one, Paul.
That's interesting. You are an underdog's dream today. Speaking of another underdog game, and I'm going to the night game, of course, and people really like South Carolina at home against Tennessee, which comes in flying high, ranked in the top 25. Jeremy Pruitt gets a new contract extension. Are you thinking about upset in this game as well?
I think Tennessee wins this football game. Look, South Carolina is a tough place to play, especially at night when it's a packed stadium. Paul, the road games are not going to be what they used to be. The home field advantage is not going to be what it usually is in this league. I think you throw that out the window. I think it's going to be a wash. I think Tennessee is going to pick up where they left off last year. And where was that consistency at the quarterback position? Look, Jeremy Pruitt said, I'm going old school. Jarrett Garantano, you want to be the starting quarterback, you can come off the bench, and week in and week out, you can prove to me, not that you can throw 8 touchdowns, but you can prove to me that you can execute what is called. And that's what Garantano did best. He started to mature as a quarterback. He could trust, or Jeremy Pruitt could trust his quarterback. They got a great offensive line. They have talented running backs. I think they're trending in the right direction. I think Jeremy Pruitt is going to have this football team ready to compete for SEC championships in a matter of years. I don't know if that's one. I don't know if that's two. It's going to be a couple years, but he's trending in that direction with how he's recruiting, the talent, and the belief that he has in that system. So I do believe Tennessee is going to pick up where they left off with the momentum they finished last season with.
I want to ask you about another team. We just went to College Station, and while I don't think this is expected to be a great game, there are great expectations for Jimbo Fisher in year three. How high are you on Kellen Mond and of the Aggies' chances to at least make some noise?
Well, Paul, if you would have asked me this question about a month ago, I was very, very high on Kellen Mond. I think he's extremely talented, but a quarterback can't do it all by himself, and they lost the games we expected them to lose last year. And if you look at those, you might say Kellen Mond didn't play very great, and he didn't. He didn't rise to the occasion in those football games, but he didn't get any help. In their 4 losses, Isaiah Spiller, their starting running back who rushed for almost 1,000 yards, but in those 4 games, he had 133 yards total. So Kellen Mond can't do this all by himself. He needs a more balanced attack on offense. But you lose Jamon Osmond, you lose a talented tight end like Baylor Cup, who was going to be a 1-2 punch with Jalen Weidemeyer that I was really excited about. Who is he going to? Right, the talent is not there anymore on the outside, or at least the experienced talent that we thought would be there. So I'm cooling down on this offense a little bit. I do believe Kellen Mond is still one of the most talented quarterbacks that we have in the SEC. But talent is so good and only so good until you prove that you can produce against the teams that you're supposed to, and they haven't done that yet. So Texas A&M will win this football game, I think by a lot, but they have a lot to figure out on offense to see if they can put together a team that can be consistent and elite against elite talent, because they haven't proved that yet.
Always great to have Jordan on the program. We will talk to you soon. Jordan, thank you very, very much. We'll all sit back and enjoy your game tomorrow. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You got it. Jordan Rogers joining us. And, of course, he will be on the call for the Kentucky-Auburn game. Gave Kentucky quite a shot there, too. We will take a break. More to come. We'll continue to work our way around the SEC and include your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
One thing we have always enjoyed is talking to young student reporters, maybe because without that, I don't think I would have ever gotten anywhere in this world. This week we feature Jake Weiss, who is the sports editor of the Plainsman down in Auburn, as that campus gets ready for its first weekend. Jake, thanks for being on the program. We hope the buildup to the school year and the college football season has been well. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. So it's I'll be honest. I kind of in the summer I didn't know if we were even going to have a football season. But it's finally here, and I think the students are excited. I know there's been a little bit of issues with student tickets, so we'll see how that all works tomorrow. But overall, I think pretty much everyone's excited on the Plains to see what's going to happen this season.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, Jake, because we've had a couple of calls from Auburn students, and they were concerned. So where did it finally land? I mean, how many students are going to be able to get inside there tomorrow?
So what I've heard numbers-wise is going to be about 17,000 total in the stadium. I think out of that, about 13,000 will be students. I think the rest are saved for visiting team personnel and home team personnel as well.
So what are the complaints then? Because that seems like a preponderance of students inside Jordan-Hare Stadium.
So a lot of the complaints are basically, from what I've heard, what I'm talking with other students on campus, basically the seating situation. There are about 8 different zones students are getting placed in. There's a pink zone, a brown zone, orange zone, just multiple colors for each zone. Students have to get there at a certain time. I talked with a friend who's in the pink zone. She can only get into the stadium from 9 a.m. to 9:30. She also has to leave 15 minutes after the game ends. And I know for her, in her sake, she was able to sit with her friends. But I have heard from a lot of students that they may have gotten the pink zone, but their roommate, who is also in this, lives in the same household, got the orange zone.
So, I mean, obviously, these are extremely difficult circumstances. Are the complaints just that you can't sit with your friends?
Yes, pretty much. That's the biggest complaint I've heard.
Beyond that, which, it seems minor, but nevertheless, what are your expectations of this football team?
Honestly, coming into this season, the expectations for Auburn kind of start with this first game for me. I personally feel like this first game is, in a lot of ways, similar to the Oregon game from last year. For both teams, Kentucky and Auburn, this is really a proven game. For Auburn, they're looking to show that last year, you know, they lost a lot of talent to the NFL and graduation. They kind of need to prove that they're still competing for, you know, a spot in the top dog in the SEC West and in the SEC. On the Kentucky side, I know I don't cover Kentucky, but how I feel about it, I think Kentucky kind of wants to prove that they belong and they aren't just a basketball school.
Talking to Jake Weiss, who is the sports editor of the Auburn Plainsman. Jake, curious, you alluded to it about the difficulty of getting ready for this football season. As someone who not only is a student, but this is an important time for you as well, being the sports editor of the school paper, especially a prestigious campus paper like the Plainsman, these are not easy things to attain, and they're precious in terms of your college experience. How has COVID affected that role, and what has it precluded you from being able to do, if anything?
Well, actually, I just found out today that I won't be able to go in person to our first football game, the Kentucky game. I came into contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID, so just to be safe, I'm going to isolate at my apartment. And we're able to send, fortunate enough to send another rider to the game. But, I mean, I'll be out missing this first game. Other than that, you know, Auburn has done a great job helping us student media out. We've gotten to pretty much cover everything that we've been able to. We even got to cover the first soccer game in person last Friday. So that was a big plus for us.
Jake, not to get anywhere that we shouldn't be going here, but I am curious because we're all dealing with it in different ways. But how did you learn you had come in contact with somebody who had tested positive?
They just gave us the results today that they had tested positive. I haven't seen them since Wednesday of this week, but just to be safe, I tried to get a test here locally today, but I found out I have to wait a couple days just to see, you know, if I have any symptoms. But like I said, I heard from the person today, hey, I tested positive, so I decided to, you know, sit this game out. Don't want to risk it, so we're sending someone else.
How long will you isolate?
Well, I'm hoping that I can get in Monday to take a test, and then from there we'll see. Right now, what I've heard from our medical clinic here is they want to wait about 5 to 7 days before they test someone after they come into contact. So I think Monday will be that fifth day. So hopefully by then I'll be able to get my test. And then from there, if it comes back negative, I can go about my day and go back to campus.
Jake, as a student, forget the your journalistic role here, but how would you describe on that campus the attitude toward COVID? Are students concerned about it? Are they laissez-faire? What is the attitude?
Well, speaking for just campus specifically, I'll say not a lot of students are coming onto campus. The ones that do a good job of following the rules. We're required to wear a mask inside all classrooms and all school buildings. Before next week, I'm a little shaky on the details, but I know the rule was also you had to wear it outside as well, like when you're walking to campus. But I think they just listed that. I'm not sure exactly what day they're listing that. That's getting listed soon. Students have done a pretty good job for the most part of dealing with COVID on campus. I know there's been a little issues with things like house parties and things like that. But for the most part, students are taking this pretty seriously. And, I mean, everybody wants to return to somewhat of a normal college experience.
Now, this is just anecdotal from the ones I talked to, Jake, but I don't claim to be an expert on this, but it seems like most young people, when they have tested positive, have come through it fairly well. Is that concurrent with what you are picking up being on a college campus?
Yes, sir. To my knowledge, Auburn really hasn't had any students get hospitalized or anything similar of that nature. Then again, I haven't heard anything about hospitalizations, so we don't know for sure if that is happening. But from the people I've talked to that have either tested positive or come into contact with someone who has tested positive, there hasn't seemed to be any issues there.
Well, Jake, I hope you can get back soon. I hope you get through this little episode without any difficulty, but we really do appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure to speak to a young journalist who is heading to hopefully greatness. What would you like to end up doing when you get out of there?
Well, I'm hoping to write just sports for just anyone who will take me, really.
Well, hopefully somebody's listening, and we'll give you a ring. Hey, Jay, good luck. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Jake Wee, sports editor of the Auburn Plainsman. Big weekend down there with Kentucky coming to town. We are going to take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we got a lot to do, including a retrospective of the last 6 months. It's been pretty extraordinary. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Put a little cherry on the top.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. I really appreciate you being here. It's a very special day for everyone because the season has finally arrived, and the crew behind the scenes here at the program have reflected back on these last 6 months and put to words, music, and action what has transpired and how we went from March to where we are right now. All the conference basketball tournaments have been canceled. The SEC making its decision around noon Eastern time. It has just been one of those days, and yeah, I always kind of hate to offer that cliche. I've never seen anything like it, but this time it's really true.
We're now in a marathon where we're trying to look out into the future and set up scenarios of, okay, how do we restart our fall sports programs and do so in the best interest of the well-being of our student athletes.
I think the common denominator is what we see from our country when it's pressed into crisis. And that's, we see its best. Not everywhere, not all the time, not from every precinct. We understand that.
There's no frame of reference for this. You know, one time we're talking about, well, we'll limit how many student athletes can be in a facility, and the next meeting we're saying no one can be in the facility. It's like nothing I've ever experienced.
Well, I don't think we can have football without fans. I mean, I can't even fathom it.
If it's not safe for fans, it's not safe for players. They're going to be right next to each other.
I can just tell you that the expansion of the playoff this year is not being considered.
Under any circumstances?
It's not being considered. There hasn't been any talk about it at all. Well, it's April, and we just don't know.
There are people that believe that there's no way you can play football in late August. You know, 29th is the start of the season, and that's just too soon. There's no way you can get campuses open, enough of them. Players may need 6 weeks. That's sort of the figure that I've heard coaches throw out.
We try to monitor you know, heart rate and sleep and weight, which is the best our strength and conditioning and medical staff can do right now. And, you know, people that handle this the best, you know, while we're in this, you know, sort of state of flux that we're in, or come out the other end a little better, and that's what we're trying to manage our team through.
You know, I'm a straight shooter, and I'll be honest, the first couple of weeks, I mean, I was on edge, just because, you know, college football coaches, we deal with schedules and agendas, and we direct people, and when you don't know what's going to happen, it's very unnerving.
Under Commissioner Sankey's leadership, we're having conversations three or four times a week, trying to continue to do our business at hand. But certainly the elephant in the room is what happens with our fall sports, and what can we do?
We need to get over panic. You know, we just need to be calm about this thing. It is here. It's going to deal with it. But, you know, if one of our athletes, for example, we're talking on about football right now, if one of our athletes gets a coronavirus, we can't just shut the whole thing down. We've got to figure out how to control that part of what we're doing.
Football is the engine that drives intercollegiate athletics on our campuses, particularly in the SEC. And so the impact is far broader than just the sport of football. The entire spectrum of intercollegiate athletics is affected. And for that reason, in some fashion or form, we have to find ways to move forward.
The biggest thing that needs to happen in college athletics is football needs to get back on the field. And what that looks like, I don't know, but that needs to happen.
Every day brings more good news, and it fuels our optimism. You know, so there's no reason why we wouldn't continue preparing as though we'll have a full football season this fall.
You talk about football in the fall. You know, we love football in Ohio. And it's just much too early to answer the question, what's going to happen to Big Ten football in the fall, or MAC football, or you know, any other football in Ohio or any place else. I just think it's too early.
Look, I'm like everybody else is watching your show. I'm ready. You know, I think people are ready. I was talking to Coach Smart about, I've talked to President Moorhead at the University of Georgia, you know, and other people about what that's going to look like, what they're working on. And I know all the presidents, especially in the SEC, are having conversations with the commissioner.
The connection between the Autonomy 5 conferences being likely stronger than I've ever experienced. We're speaking every day. But even more importantly, our schedules are connected. So the notion that one lightly thinks about going off and doing something in an independent way is actually not attached to reality.
How you're going to manage and how you're going to mitigate, I think, is the issue. So having a common set of protocols, I think, is going to be an important issue that everyone's going to have to agree to build the kind of trust and confidence you're going to need to be flying across the country and playing against teams from other conferences.
One thing I hope they don't do is separate the teams and play the haves and the have-nots. I think that would be awful for the game. I don't want to see college football where only the Power Five conferences play. I mean, I don't think that's fair just because they are big schools and they're big money makers.
Functionality is going to occur, and in this case in athletics, I would still bet that college football is going to be played come Labor Day. I think there are too many influential factors at play, and there's just simply too much money. It's too big to fail.
What is going to happen if you test and you have a certain level of testing, but the team you're scheduled to play doesn't? I mean, that's something that I haven't heard anybody give a real good answer to. You know, are those games not going to get played?
At least the A5 conferences would like to be on the same page as much as we can be, as much as the virus allows. But, you know, California can have a very different set of circumstances than Georgia, for instance. And so what's done in the SEC and the ACC could be very different than what's done in the Pac-12.
This is a much bigger issue than college football and people on campus. I mean, I just saw the governor where I live has issued a mandatory mask order. The Texas governor is doing similar things. What has gone wrong?
I think we took this virus too lightly as we did our back to work or ordinary activities kind of thing in early May and mid-May.
I think it means that people are coming to terms with the fact that, you know, we can't control this virus. You know, I think that people understood that there would be positive tests. I think they knew that college athletes were not just going to all stay in their dorm rooms alone.
I really wish, Paul, we would have a commissioner of college football, and we wouldn't have different leagues doing different things and have so much uncertainty up in the air. I hope that's something that we work towards, somebody that could pull all the commissioners together and just lead the commissioners.
If we have to give ourselves more time, let's do that. And you may get to a point where we say, we're going to start on this date, and let's play as many games as possible. Right, and if you say that we have 12 games on the schedule and we get 10 of them in, then we get 10 of them in.
What do we know today? Good afternoon.
Yeah, we know we're running out of time. That's for sure. Real estate to continue to kick the can further down the road. You know, I think that this will be a pretty newsy week, Paul.
His concern is genuine, and it's reflective of what I'm hearing from the conference commissioners and the athletic directors. What happens when 50 to 60,000 student athletes return to campus for the summer?
On the ACC, they've gone ahead and announced that they are going to play, and they are going to start reasonably on time. They'll play 10 ACC games plus one non-conference game.
Well, Notre Dame being discussed as an ACC member for this just 1 year only in football is something that has been under discussion for the last several months as the ACC coaches, athletic directors, and obviously league membership and Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame try to figure out what's the best scheduling model for us moving forward.
Some breaking news, the SEC president's just approved a 10-game conference-only schedule starting September 26th, and SEC championship game pushed back to December 19th.
Right now, to say that things were going to be significantly better, there was discomfort. Discomfort for me, discomfort from a number of our programs. We need to see improvement. We need people to stay healthy. We need these testing, the positive testing rates to go down.
I really value my A5 colleagues. I got calls from both the ACC and the SEC prior to the time the news broke. And so, you know, I think it has been a collaborative process, but I think some jumped to the conclusion that that meant we were all going to end up with one model that was exactly the same.
So far, this is what we know about the college football season. The SEC and the Pac-12 have both announced they'll start on September 26th.
Now we're coming up on a time frame where, you know, you're getting ready for the start of the what would be the traditional fall camp for football if you're going to kick off on Labor Day weekend. And what we kept coming back to from our medical advisors is we did not feel comfortable proceeding any further. Didn't think that was appropriate.
What is going to be a very busy and momentous day in the history of college football. Just moments ago, the Big Ten Conference has canceled its fall schedule, setting off a chain reaction that could affect many, many programs.
You've got players and coaches and parents and everybody saying, what are you doing? Why aren't you giving this more of a chance? They get information about, you know, potential heart issues with coronavirus, and that scares them as well. And they finally say, you know what, we can't do this, so let's try again in the spring.
Pete Thamel is now reporting the Pac-12 has now joined the Big Ten in canceling its college fall season.
Momentum started to gain more and more on Sunday, and at that point, I just thought, is it going to happen on Sunday night? Is it going to happen on Monday? So this is not necessarily a huge surprise that we're sitting here Tuesday with an announcement from both these conferences.
Dan Patrick says, well, if they get past all medical hurdles, they'll start October 10th. Bill Moos at Nebraska, the AD, basically says, no, that's not true.
Burst a lot of bubbles here, Dennis, because I thought they were on the 1 yard line. That's what the president of the United States said.
Well, if you believe they have to go 99 yards, yeah, they are on the 1 yard line.
You're right. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he didn't stipulate which yard line.
Yeah.
Well, they are back. Welcome back to reality. The Big Ten decided they're going to play football again. That's after they decided not to.
Well, Paul, it really began this past weekend when the 14 presidents and chancellors on Sunday were presented with the change in medical information. And that is the key to this whole thing. That is what's different for those presidents who voted last time to postpone.
Meanwhile, Pac-12 coming up for air a week and a day after the Big Ten said we'll play. Week one in the SEC, we are knocking on the door of the SEC season, and we could not be happier. And there you have it. What an amazing 6 months, and it all begins again tomorrow morning. We'll take a short break. More guests as we continue to work our way around the SEC on a Friday afternoon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And the ESPN Daily Podcast with Pablo Torre. You can listen now and listen to Pablo check talking to Spencer Hall, talking about the SEC football weekend. Hall, of course, will make his network debut here, along with the rest of the new TOL crowd, Brandon Boykin and Richard Johnson, along with Alyssa Lang, Monday at 7 Eastern time. Let's get back to the calls right now and check out. Where'd my caller go there? Check out Taylor, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Taylor. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Good afternoon to you.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions here. I wanted to get your thoughts on the NCAA. I know with all this this being basically a free year, and the whole Cade Mays situation, JT Daniels, Jamie Newman, how did Jalen Brooks from South Carolina, how did he get denied his eligibility? I just wanted to get your
Taylor. I'm not really sure. It's a good question. There are a lot of those cases out there, three or four at least. And you know, the SEC has one bylaw that stipulates you cannot transfer within conference without sitting out for a year. That's causing some of those issues. Trey is up next in Florida. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you.
Paul, before I start, I just want to say prayers to Jake, who came in contact with the COVID. Prayers up to him. And just want to transition over to back to what Jordan was talking about. I truly believe that Kentucky has the best offensive line, and I do think we're going to go into Auburn and beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you are not alone in that thought. There's a lot of conversation about that, Trey. I can't wait to see that game. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Kevin next in Florida. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Kevin, I am well. Thank you.
I got one question. How about the Auburn Tigers? How do you think they do this year?
I think tomorrow may be the key. Bottom line, and there are a lot of people who think Auburn's going down tomorrow. I'm not in that group, but if they can't get out of their own crib with a win, then I think you have to recalibrate their one loss, don't you?
Yeah, and I think Bo Nix is a good quarterback.
Well, I happen to think Bo Nix is one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. So I think it starts there, and I think they're in for a pretty good year. Meanwhile, we were watching that piece a minute ago. I'll never forget talking to John Steinbrecher, the MAC commissioner, when he said the medical advice was that there was no way, none, they could play football this year. Well, it just came out that the MAC is going to play college football starting November 4th and the championship game same weekend as everyone else. I mean, it's just stupefying to see everyone coming back after they shut down and were so absolute. We are heading for the break. Second half of the program is live. We will continue working our way around the SEC.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.